How do you follow that? You know, they've said it all. I'm boring. That's what I heard them say. That's what they said, didn't they? Eh? I'm boring. Basically, that's what they were saying. So, no, they weren't really, but here you see diamonds in the making.
Yes, we do.
Precious gems in the making.
Yeah.
Rough diamonds. Rough diamond. Yeah?
Yeah?
But God did a work.
He did.
Rough diamond. God's doing a work in our lives. You know? And God takes the weak things of this world. And he puts himself into them. And he makes them strong. When I was their age, I wouldn't have stood up here. I'm serious, you know. I can remember Methodist Sunday school, you know. And we used to have to do whatever it was, and we'd have to stand up and recite a poem or something. And my Lord, I hated it. Do not stand me there, you know. Put me at the back, give me a job to do, out of sight, out of mind, and I was happy. Hated being here. I didn't choose to be here. I was called. And I tell you, the early days when I used to have to go and preach in different churches, I had butterflies as big as elephants, it felt like, in my stomach. And then you get dear there, going for it. Eh? The evangelist, you know. It's like, okay, I'll sit down, you preach. You know? Yeah, give her the mic. So now when I... excuse me. So I now know.
Yes.
I now know.
Yep.
Are you listening, young people? I now know that if I need somebody to preach or give testimony, I now know where to go.
Yes.
Yeah? So the answer is not no. The answer is yes, Lord. Amen? Yes, Lord. Glory to God. I'm just waiting for the others to just get back in, basically. But that was great, weren't it?
It really was.
That was absolutely fantastic. It's a shame that Helen wasn't here today. She's not well. She's really a severe chest infection. And it was a bit of a pity she couldn't hear it. But I thought, Daniel videoed something on his phone, I believe, didn't you, or something. And I've done a little bit. And it's recorded as well. So, but it's great. And it is. It's all about God's grace.
Yes.
It's not about what we've done. But it's about everything that the Lord Jesus did on that cross.
Amen.
He died that we don't have to die.
Amen.
He took my punishment.
Yes.
So that I don't have to be punished.
Yes.
He forgave me.
Yes.
Even before I was born.
Yes.
That's amazing. And do you know something? God knew that you guys were going to be here today.
Yes.
On this very day.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing? That God knows that.
Yeah.
It astounds me. It's amazing that 20 years ago God told a man about this building.
Yes.
I'd never seen this building before. Up until May, 2 years ago. I had never been past this building. I'd never seen the building. I'd never heard of the building. But God makes a way.
Amen.
Where there is no way.
Indeed.
Hallelujah. The offering to purchase that we've taken today for the purchasing of the building has come to £3,201.04. Amen. Glory to God. I don't know who put the 4 pence in, but thank you very much. You know, God even looked at the widow's mite. Jesus looked at the widow's mite and said, she's given everything. She's given everything. And you know, we're going to, obviously we may have to do some, there's much work to do in the building in the future that we will set our hands towards and have to get people to do. And but you know, our young people say, oh, we're going to do a fundraiser. So they're eager to do something, aren't you girls? So thank God for that. I want to just tell you something that whilst we were in the States, we went to this conference, and as I told you, these guys had ministered into our lives 20 years ago. I haven't seen them for 20 years. And we went back to share what the Lord has done and what the Lord is doing in our young people's lives and in your lives as we move forward in God. And a lady who we've never met before. She doesn't know us. She's never met us before. She came to us after a service and said, I have a word for you from God. Grace took most of it down. We've got most of it written down. But basically what she said was that we were about to see a youth quake. There is a shaking going on in youth work. Yeah. And God is going to move and bring a shaking in youth. So you better get ready. You better get in your Bibles. You better get prayed up, fired up, stoked up, ready. And the church better get ready. Because yeah. God said he's going to do a youth quake. Now then, just over 2 years ago, we were in Africa, Rwanda. And we went to minister there. And God had spoken to a Ugandan girl who lived in Rwanda, still lives in Rwanda. And she said, there's a white man coming, and his name is Andrew. God can be very specific. There's a white man coming and his name is Andrew. And you're to tell him this word. And she told me things that had gone on in my past. And she told me about the pains and the sufferings and the hardships that we and Grace had gone through in various stages of our lives in the work of the kingdom of God. But she went on then to tell us that God was going to cause us to work with young people. I said, I did this 30 years ago, Lord. Surely not young people. They say I'm old. I don't feel old, but some folk try and imply it. But she said, and there's going to be a great move of God in the youth. And I'm thinking, we didn't have any young people, did we? You know, we didn't have any young people. And then God is saying, I'm going to do a great work. And you're going to have a great youth work. And I'm thinking, dear Lord Jesus, I need to take some more vitamins to keep up with them all. You know, I'm going to have to eat spinach and everything else just to keep me fired up. Glory to God. And then God started this Christmas, began to break in amongst the young people. Do you know, it wasn't anything that we had done. I'm going to give him all the praise and all the glory, because it's Jesus that saves lives.
Amen.
All we're doing is being a signpost. This way. This way. Come and meet him. This way. We're being a picture, if we can, of Jesus. And just showing the love of God to people, whether we're boring or not. You know. You see, what you've got to remember, it's not how high you jump and how many times you jump. It's have you got the Word of God inside of you?
Amen. Amen.
Because it's the Word that sets you free. And the Word is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And when you've got the Word inside you, He gives you joy.
Yes.
When there's trouble, when there's difficulties, when there's pain.
Yeah.
When you've got the Word Jesus, it just hugs you.
Yes.
Gives you strength to go through.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So it's not how... And you can jump as much as you want for me. I'll never stop you jumping. What I do want to see and believe is that you know the Jesus of the Bible. You know from the oldest through to the youngest, every one of us knows the Jesus of this Bible. And knowing Him personally, you know, so that we actually see Him face to face, and we can look into His eyes, and He can look into our eyes, and He can say to us, I love you.
Amen.
And you can say back to Him, I love you. Yeah. I am so blessed to see what is happening. Something we've prayed for years. And we've trusted God for years. God will never, ever let you down. Be faithful to Him. And He will be faithful to you. You will see it happen. And I believe that in this area and through Doncaster, there is going to be a youth quake. And one of them said to us, it will be a sovereign move of God. In other words, no man, no woman is going to be the leader of it. It will be a mighty sovereign move of God, the Holy Spirit, in the lives of young people. And it will be shaking and it will be quaking. One thing that was said to us also was, some of the parents will come against us. Because they won't understand what's happening. But we've just got to keep loving.
Yeah.
You know, one of our messages over the years, for many years, has been, God is love. Placed on Jesus, crown of thorns. That's not love. He took your punishment. And when I say they placed on Him, they thrust it onto His head. He suffered humiliation for you and for me. Took my punishment that I might receive His peace and joy. He gave His life that I might have life. He came to set me free. He was imprisoned with my punishment. And He came to set me free. I want to just tell you when the Easter story started. It didn't start... just over 2,000 years ago. It started before then. I've never seen this until a few days, and I was praying, and God woke me and began to talk to me about Easter. Because I knew that when we got back, it would be straight into Easter, and here we would be, and partly jet lag, not sort of knowing which time zone we're supposed to be in. But Easter started in the book of Genesis.
Amen.
I've never seen this before, honestly. I've never preached this before. So this is all new. Started in Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve were in the garden. And in verse 8 it says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day." You see, God did this every day. And so God begins to walk in the garden in the cool of the day. "And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees in the garden." One thing you need to realize, you cannot hide from God. You can deceive yourself that you are hiding from God. It's like a child, isn't it? You know? Can't see me. Can't see me. We've all done it, don't we? You go up to a child and go, "Boo!" Yeah. "You can't see me." And so the man and woman, Adam and Eve, are hiding in the trees. You cannot hide from God. When God comes looking for you, He knows exactly where you are. He knew where the prodigal was. He knows when you're in the gutter. He knows what dark corner you're living in. You can never, never hide from God. There is no place to hide. So let me tell you this. Quit trying to hide from God. Just come out, expose yourself and say, "God, forgive me, deal with me and sort me out." It's faster. It's a fast track to victory. You know, I say to folk, "Why do you keep going round the mountain? You know, I don't know when I'm going to sort this one out. You know, I really don't know. I know I can't do it." And you just keep walking around in circles all the time and going nowhere. And God is saying, "I'm stood here waiting for you." God's not moving. He's waiting for you to say, "Yes, Lord." And when we say, "Yes, Lord," He begins to move heaven and earth to set us free. So here we find that God is in the garden and the Lord calls out to the man and says, "Where are you?" You see, God gives us the opportunity to say, I'm here. Because God wants you to volunteer to come forward. Like you did when you gave your life to Jesus. You know, He said, "Yes, Lord, I want to change." Something came over you. You heard the voice of God. You heard the Spirit. You felt the Spirit. And you just responded and said, "I want that." And you grabbed it. The man and woman are still hiding. And the man says, "I heard your voice and I hid and was afraid because I'm naked. So I hid myself." And God says, "Who told you that you're naked? Have you eaten from that tree?" The tree of... yeah, that's the one. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. And He had. He'd not eaten from that tree, which is the tree of life. Jesus. They'd not partaken. You see, there were two trees in the garden. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. Jesus Christ. So often we forget there was another tree. And that was the tree that they were supposed to eat of. And if you will eat eat of the tree of life, Jesus, He will give you life. He'll give you that eternal life. He'll give you joy. He'll give you peace. He'll give you a future, a hope. Hallelujah. And so the man and woman are hiding, and the serpent is blamed because he deceived them. And so we see that in this story, as we move through this story, that it says in verse 21, "And the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. To me, that speaks that right at that point in time, God made a sacrifice. God made a sacrifice for His Son, Adam, created in His very image. So God had to make a sacrifice, and He took a lamb. He took the skins and placed it on Adam and Eve and clothed them. And at that point, because there was sin in their life, because this sacrifice was only just a covering. It's just a covering. The moment that you take the cover off, you see the sin. Because you see, the inside has not changed. I'm not saying that about you, by the way. Just using you as an example. You see, the inside has not changed. You see, it needs this perfect sacrifice. The Lord Jesus. To change us from the inside. The sacrifice of an animal that appeared to be perfect and unblemished was just a covering to hide the sin that was in our lives. And this had to be done every year. Every year. And then Adam, it says, and Eve were driven out from the garden. And an angel with a flaming sword was set before the gate so that they may never enter into paradise again in that sinful state. Yeah. You see, in paradise, that was God's perfection. But sin had entered in, and God says, nothing of sin can enter into my presence. Nothing sinful can come before me. And so the sacrifice was made, and they were driven out. We move on then, and Adam and Eve had sons, Cain and Abel. And you know the story, many of you, that Cain and Abel, and Cain became the first murderer because he brought an offering to God that was of his own hands and of his own works. Look what I've done, God. Look what I've produced. Look what I've done. And he brought something from the sinful earth to God. He knew the principle. The principle was that you bring a lamb. And you know, for years, they would bring a lamb to the gate of Eden, of paradise. And they built an altar there. And they would sacrifice every year a lamb before the Lord and before the angel of the Lord to cover their sins. It was Passover. It was Passover. And if you read through the Bible, so it continues on. Bringing a sacrifice. Bring the firstborn. Bring the spotless, pure firstborn and sacrifice it unto God. Remember, the children of Israel, we move on in time, and the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt for 400 years. And God raises up a baby. Who's been thrown to the crocodiles in one sense, to the mercy of a Nile that was filled with crocodiles. Today in Egypt, there are no crocodiles in the Nile. They built a great big dam. called the Aswan Dam. And any crocodiles that might get through get chopped up on the way down. So there's literally no, as far as I know, when we were in Egypt, we did not see a crocodile. And people were bathing in the Nile. The dam stopped them coming from Central Africa. And so, but at Moses' time, the dam wasn't there, and there were crocodiles and wild animals, and this small baby is in a crib. And he's left floating in the bulrushes, in the reeds at the edge of the Nile. And Pharaoh's daughter, one of the servants, finds this little baby and says, it's one of the Jewish babies. It's one from the tribes of Israel. And she said, bring it, I'll look after it and care for it. And he became the deliverer that set the children of Israel free after 400 years of bondage. But the last thing they did in Egypt, Egypt is symbolic of sin. Egypt is symbolic of this world today. It's bondages, it's sicknesses, it's cruelty, it's slavery to things of the world. We've just come back from America, and so many people are in bondage to finance, to debt, going, achieving this, achieving that, and Jesus takes the back seat. Let me tell you, put Jesus first in your life. It is the most important thing that you can ever, ever do. Keep him fixed right in front of you. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He will never, ever let you down. He's faithful.
Yes.
You that have walked this pathway longer than others know it.
Amen.
And we know it. Grace and I know it. That God is faithful to us.
Amen.
His promises are true. You are proof of it. This building is proof of it.
Amen.
His promises are true. It's not what we've done. But we've just stayed there and said, yes, Lord.
Yes,
yes Lord. We believe you.
Amen.
We're going to trust you, God. And your time marches on. And you can start saying, well, we're getting old, Lord. But it's a case of keep trusting.
Amen.
He didn't give us a time.
No,
he didn't give us a date.
No.
He just gave us a promise. And said, trust me. The children of Israel were 400 years in bondage, and God promised them a deliverer. And Moses appears on the scene, and the very last day of their bondage, it says they had to sacrifice. Each household had to take a lamb and inspect it every day for 7 days and check there was no spot, no blemish. Nothing wrong, but this lamb was absolutely pure, perfect. And then they to sacrifice the lamb and place the blood on the doorposts and on the lintel so that God's angel of death that came to kill every firstborn of the Egyptians would not kill any Hebrew child.
Amen.
And so that angel will be on its way that night. Yeah, and it sees the blood. And it says, I see the blood. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he died on that cross. It says blood and water flowed from him. He says that he wasn't killed, you know. He actually gave up his life. He surrendered his life. No man took his life because no man was able to take his life. Because that which is pure, that which is holy, that which is perfect, you cannot kill. Wow. And you see, God is making you pure. Perfect and holy. And the world can't kill you. We're not going to die. Literally, we're not going to die. It's like, I'm just putting on a new body.
Amen.
I'm putting on a new suit.
Amen.
And the old man will be replaced by the new man.
Amen.
God's covering us. That lamb, they were told, you don't break a bone in its body. Wow. And Jesus died on that cross. Not a bone in his body was broken. The thieves were still alive. They broke their legs. But Jesus had surrendered his life to God and taken my punishment, taken your punishment, and given up himself to death so that you and I don't have to die eternally. Hallelujah. You will live eternally because you've received Jesus into your heart and into your life. And so in that receiving, in that daily walk, that daily relationship of knowing Him, then we walk in eternal life. And I encourage people, I don't believe this story of once saved, always saved, and then I can go and do what I want. Because I can bring many scriptures to you, but not to today. Do it another time. But you see, God wants a personal, everyday relationship with every one of us. It's proof, because it says in the beginning in Genesis, it says every day, God came in the cool of the evening to meet with Adam and Eve, to talk to them, to spend time with them. You see, the sacrifice of the lamb at the beginning in Genesis has continued on. God does not change things. God lays things out. It's simple to follow. It is not complicated. And so God wants this continuing relationship. If you've got a friend and a close friend, that's somebody that you talk to on a regular basis, isn't it? Somebody that you confide in. Yeah. But you share secrets with. Yeah. They're a close friend. God wants you to God wants that relationship with each and every one of us as a close friend. Wants you to tell him everything. He already knows. It's just that you don't know he knows. It's this thing of, he can't see me. God cannot see what I'm doing right now. Want to bet? He says, he can even look into your heart and see what's going on. There's nowhere to hide. Do you know why? Because he loves you. He loves you. God does not want you to go through pain. God didn't create you to suffer. He created you to be a blessing and blessed. That's why he created all these beautiful things. In the Garden of Eden, it was a place of perfection and glory. God loves us. And today, as we celebrate this time of Easter, We're celebrating a risen Lord, a risen Savior who came and took your punishment, my punishment, that we might be set free. Hallelujah. And you know, in Deuteronomy, it tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 5, it tells us there that every time they made a sacrifice, the sacrifice had to be made outside the city walls, outside the city gates. When Jesus was crucified, he was crucified outside the city walls. God, he puts it down as a pattern. It repeats itself. God is saying, look, this is what I'm going to do. Yeah. Hebrews says, he's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
He says, I'm not going to change. I'm still going to do what I did yesterday because it's right and good and pure and holy. And today, I'm going to do the same because it's right and good and pure and holy. And tomorrow, I'm going to do what is right and good and pure and holy.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So there's one thing about God, is that you can place your hand in the hand of God and know he's always going to be there. No, he's always going to be there. And he's always doing the right thing at the right time, at the right place. Yeah? And he's doing it for you guys. Amen? He's doing it for each and every one of us. It's not, oh, I wonder what God's doing today. He's doing the same thing. He's the same God. He's the same Jesus. He's not suddenly, wow, I didn't know God could do that. He could do it all the time. I've just seen today as we've been in this building, our butterfly has arrived. Did you see it? It's gone somewhere up there. Now that butterfly's been in this building for at least 6 months. It went and hid somewhere. I saw it and then it disappeared. And then all of a sudden, somewhere just up in that corner there. Butterfly. What is it a symbol of? New life. Born again. You see the beauty and the magnificence and the detail that God puts into that tiny, fleeting insect that flies on the wind with such delicacy. And people say, there is no God. It all came from a big boom. Have you ever seen a big boom? The only thing I've ever seen about a big boom is there's a mess to clear up afterwards. Yeah? It's like when the grandchildren come and arrive, you know, they come whizzing in and they're like a whirlwind, and by the time they've done, it's a big boom. And you go, oh, it's lovely to see them, it's lovely to see them go home, back to mum and dad. And then you have to clear up after them. Never can any person with any intellect believe that a big bang created such perfect beings, created so much different beauty in the earth, so much variety of animals and insects, and none of them can talk save one, the man that God made. None of them know how to worship God save the man, the humanity that God made. He made you and me to worship the Lamb of God, who's risen, ascended, and glorified. Hallelujah. You know, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was the cry of humanity. That was the cry of you and me. That was the cry of the nations. My God, why have you forsaken us? And God can only forsake us because of our sin. But the moment that, as these testimonies have said, as they come and they gave their lives to Jesus, they began to feel the presence and the difference in their lives and the comfort that there is in having Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Matthew, and finally with Matthew chapter 28. Quite amazing that in one sense at the moment we've got young girls, young ladies coming to know the Lord Jesus first of all as their own personal Savior. That's wonderful. Matthew chapter 28 verse 1 says this: Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and other Mary came to look at the grave. I love this. Again, I saw something that I really had. You can read it, the Bible, so quickly and so easily at times, but I suddenly saw something that it says in Matthew here, and behold, a severe earthquake. I'm waiting for our youth quake. A severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat on it. When the angel of God appears, there will be a quaking. There will be a shaking. Hallelujah. And the great thing is that the two women arrived first. His disciples, who were close to Jesus, they were probably still in bed, still playing games, still playing Space Invaders or something, you know. But the women were there. They were first to the tomb. He says, and the angel's appearance was like lightning, and his garments were as white as snow. And the guards shook of fear of him and became like dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who has been crucified. And the angel then said, he is not here. Amen. Whoa. Whoa. The angel moved the stone for one reason. So they could all go in and have a look and say, he's gone. There's no body. Where is he? And the angel said, he is risen.
Amen.
Wow. But they crucified him. He's been dead for 3 days. He's risen.
Amen.
He is risen. He's alive. Can you imagine? He's alive. He's alive. Hey, he's alive. The excitement. He's alive. He's risen.
Amen.
He's kept his word.
Yes.
Kept his word. He's true to his word. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm not going to change. I'm going to keep my word to you. I'm going to keep my promises to you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Keep praying for your parents.
Amen.
He's a mighty God.
He
is. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's look at verse 18. And with this I'm going to finish. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, his disciples, saying, remember this one. Get hold of this one. Through from the youngest to the oldest, get hold of this. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And so then he gives a commission and he says, what does he say? Go. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Didn't say get converts. Didn't say get converts. Make disciples. Disciplined followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want converts. I don't want forms signed with names and ticks and just and dates. I want disciples. That when the Master speaks, they say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. When the Master says, go and pray and lay hands on this person, you say, yes, Lord. And they're healed. When the Master says, go and speak to this person and that person, and you do it, and they find Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that's a disciple, a disciplined follower of the Lord Jesus, obedient to the Holy Spirit as He leads us and directs us and prompts us to go forward. Therefore, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. As you start to get older and as you grow in God, we have mission trips planned. We're off to Romania this year, number one. Hallelujah. They're going to take the gospel of Jesus' love to them. They're going to take the gospel of freedom to the people. And we're going to share Jesus with them. I want to see that in the future, some of you, if not all of you, will be going on mission trips. And you will see God moving through your life, through your testimony, through the word that you minister, and through the lives that you touch. Amen? Praise His wonderful name. So He said, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. He said, I'm never going to leave you. I'll always be there for you. I'm never leaving you. There was a song, put your hands in the hand of the Master. Get your hand into Jesus. Take hold of His hand. Never let go. Never let go. Because the intention of Jesus coming and dying upon this cross and shedding His blood was that He might restore paradise, the perfectness of creation back into our lives and into the world. You see, Jesus died not just for mankind, but He died for all of creation. He died for the universe. That's big. He died for the universe. And in the universe, there are individuals, aren't there? Individual names, individual faces, individual personalities. And in that universe, He died for each and every one of us. Right in the beginning of the Word of God, In Genesis, God begins to lay out his plan to show Adam, you may have failed, but I've got a plan. You may have made a big mistake, but I've got a plan. You may think you've blown it, but God's got a plan. You may think you've missed it, but God's got a plan. You may think you've lost it, but God's got a plan. You may think you've failed, but God's got a plan. You may think you'll never amount to anything, but God's got a plan. Tell yourself, God has a plan for my life. Say it, God has a plan for my life. Now, come on, don't be shy about it. You see, you got to begin to tell principalities and powers, and also tell heaven that you believe that God has got a plan for my life. Come on, God has got a plan for my life. God has got a plan for my life. Say it again. God has got a plan for my life. Amen?
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
You see? And when you know that, you can just say, great. Just walk it. And you walk it out in God.
Yeah.
Step by step, day by day. And there will be some hard days. And there'll be some days when you fall down. There'll be days when you feel you've let Jesus down. Get up.
Amen.
Get up.
Get up.
Get up. We're fighting a battle.
Yeah.
You know? I hear Dad was watching boxing all last night. You know what happens in a boxing ring now and again? Some people get knocked down. Yeah? Yeah. Suddenly, there they're going, and all of a sudden, boom! One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. I am not knocked out. I might have been knocked down, but I am not knocked out. Come on. Bring it on. Right? And so, come on. Listen, you're going to get knocked down now and again. Get up before ten's counted. Yeah. Get up. I'm here. Come on. Bring it on, devil. You know, I'll give him a uppercut with the word of God. Glory to Jesus. Bring the word of God against him. Let the word do it. Changing things. You might be knocked down, but get up. And the word of God says, and when you fall, he says, God picks you up and says, come on. He says, let's try it again, shall we? Let's try it again. He's not going, you see, you can't do it. You couldn't do it first time, so you're not going to do it again. No. I remember water skiing for the first time when I was about, well, thank you, darling. When I was about 40, which was not very long ago, that's how you do it, isn't it? I went on this lake with some friends, and they gave us an option. We were in America again, and they came over and said, we've got two choices. You can either go shopping, or we can go to the lake and water skiing. There ain't no choice, is there? Not fellas, anyway. We're not going shopping, are we? Definitely not. We'll go water skiing. So, and then I suddenly realised, I've never water skied in my life. Oh, this is going to be interesting, isn't it? And so there were people going round on the back of this powerful boat, and they were water skiing. And I'm sat there in the boat watching it all. I'm thinking, wow, it's fantastic, isn't it? And then somebody said, would you like to have a go? Don't ask me twice. Yeah. So I get up there. I must have taken, I don't know how many nosedives with skis hanging behind me. You know, I mean, this boat was a 4.5 litre. It could pull six people from a standing start. So me, just me on the back. I mean, it was like a rocket, you know. I hit my legs with water skis. I thought I'd broken a leg at one stage. I'm like, and the guy looks at me and says, "Do you want to quit? Quit? You said the wrong word to the wrong person." "No, no. Have you had enough?" "No. I had not achieved what I set out to achieve." And that was to ski across the lake. Finally, I made it on the skis. I'm up there. I'm going around. "This is fabulous, yeah. Oh, we do a turn. Yeah, look at this, you know." And then we're passing the edge of the shore, and there's a crowd been watching me for the last half hour. I drew a crowd, and they're all going, "Yay, go, go, go." So I just went, "Yeah, sure," and I just carried on. And the guy said to me, "Do you want to stop?" "No, I'm up, keep going." Then I am enjoying this, you know. I'm in for the ride, and so here I am. I'm just going along. I went around that lake about 3 times. I'm like, "Yeah, I can water ski now. Glory to God. Don't quit. Don't give up." Hallelujah. Don't be a quitter. When you're down, get up. When you get knocked down, get up. Because God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. Because Jesus is risen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's risen, he's ascended, and he's glorified. Yes. Hallelujah. And so today's a day when we celebrate the resurrection life of Jesus coming into our lives and into the lives of the world. You know, Jesus gave it for everybody. Come on, let's tell it this year. Let's keep telling people about Jesus. Let's keep showing people Jesus. And see their lives change for the glory of God. And that the church will not shrink in our nation, but the church will grow. It's growing in China. Massively. Let's see it grow back in our nation. Let God take our nation back. And let's put Jesus right in the center of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm excited. I'm excited about the future.
Amen.
Got so much to do. God's going to have to continue to keep renewing my youth. So that you guys are going to have to keep trying to keep up with me.
Amen.
Amen. And you'll have to try and keep up with me. Glory to Jesus. Father, we just pray right now in the precious name of Lord Jesus.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, for this life that has been dedicated to you.
Yes.
And Father, we pray that you would minister into this life and that she will know such a presence of you and such a touch of you in her life, Lord. And that from this very day, Father, she will know such a deep and close relationship with you.
Amen.
Lord, she's walked so close to you, seeking you. And this day, oh God, she has been found of you. And Father, I pray she will know such a presence and a touch in her life of you, Lord Jesus. And Father, I pray that you will continue to protect her and keep her safe. And you would make her a light and a testimony to the glory of the love of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Make her a disciple, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rejoice.
Oh, thank you.
Giving a heart to Jesus today. So precious. Hallelujah. So exciting. Another one. Into the presence of the kingdom of God. He said, "He's going to never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's always going to be with you."
And even though you go through some tough times, he's there for you. You stay connected with these guys. Stay connected. This is your church now. And they love you. And they're going to be praying for you. What's your name again?
Praina.
Pray for Praina. Pray for Praina. How's that one? Pray for Praina. It's got to be easy to remember. Just keep praying for Praina. Pray for them all. Pray for everybody. You know, whilst I've been away, I would sort of see the congregation and I would pray for you. I would see where some of you sit in the same seats all the time, so I would see you there and I'd be praying for you. That's how I do it. I work in pictures, man. Hallelujah. Bless you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. What a blessing. What a blessing. He's risen! Hallelujah. He's risen! Hallelujah. And the dead are raised.
Yes.
The dead are raised into life in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord.